David Dill is the DFL representative from District 6A. He joins us by phone. Good morning, Representative Dill.
Hey, how you doing, Jay? Good morning.
Good morning. Say, last year you took some time off because of ill health. Now I understand you're back in full force. Tell us about that.
Oh, I actually just took off about 7 days and got a kidney transplant. I missed about 7 days of work. Hard to believe you can have a kidney transplant and be back to work in 7 days. I actually made a vote on the House floor on the 6th day after the surgery. And I am full tilt. My creatinine, which is a measurement of the impurities in your blood, is perfectly normal, and I'm full steam. I feel like I'm 30 instead of 55. So I'm on the treadmill every day, and when there's a long debate on the House floor, there's six flights of stairs getting up to the quadriga on the top of the Capitol, and I walked those six flights five times yesterday during the debate on alternate teacher licensure.
Wow, well, that's really good news. Speaking of legislative activities, though, the latest budget deficit projection dropped by $1 billion, and I know that says something to you. We talked a little bit about that yesterday.
Since I've been in legislature 2002, there's never been a time that we haven't been under fire on these budget deficits, dating right back to the end of the Ventura administration, and it's just been, you know, it's been terrible to keep telling constituents, no, 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 cut, cut, cut. You know, there's been this recession that has happened. But what I guess the point I want to make is it's amazing to me that the power of an economic recovery that it can have. Now, most people think, oh, we're not in an economic recovery. We have too many people unemployed, and we have this and we have that. But, I mean, even if you can't feel it, there's some underlying current that we might have an economic recovery. Now, that said, these oil prices aren't going to help anything, and I'm sure the Cook County folks as well as everybody across the country is feeling that. But to think that in just a short period of time that we could have a $1.2 billion in additional revenue and knock our budget deficit from $6.2 billion to $5 billion is pretty amazing to me. You know, things are pointing ahead, and I'm hoping that we do have some better times ahead.
Well, what about Wisconsin, Representative Dill? Is there any interest in changing collective bargaining in the Minnesota legislature, or is that just a Wisconsin thing?
Oh, no, there's just a whole host. Just a host. I mean, there's so many bills about freezing pay and eliminating of public workers and gutting PELRA and collective bargaining rights and all of those things. There's so many of them I couldn't even begin to discuss them in the House of Representatives in Minnesota today. I'm a firm believer, as your listeners and my constituents in Cook County know, that I'm a relatively conservative Democrat. But the one thing I am going to stand tough on is the right to bargain collectively. I mean, it just, at times there's impasses, and have to have circuit breakers and that allow for people to do what they think is in their best interest. And I'm just going to stand behind working people in Minnesota, and there's a lot of those folks in Cook County and a lot of those across the District 6A. And that doesn't mean we don't have to be cognizant that business has to work and be able to make a profit, but people also have to be able to live.
If you had your way, Representative Dill, what would you do to get rid of the remaining deficit and balance the state's budget?
Well, I said many, many, many times that there are going to have to be some additional pain here, because you don't erase $5 billion. You don't do that without having to trim and cut and be more efficient and have people not that are leaving state employment or programs that are funded by the state, have them reduced and cut back. And additionally, we need to raise some additional revenue. And one of the things about our tax structure is that the wealthiest people in Minnesota pay a disproportionate share of their income in total taxes. And this has been demonstrated. Even the Tim Pawlenty administration, the Department of Revenue, did a tax incident study numerous times, as a matter of fact, and it showed that as a total percentage of their income, the wealthiest don't pay as much as the middle class. Now, that's when you take into consideration sales tax, property tax, all the other taxes that you pay incidentally that you don't even, well, you feel them, but I mean, they're just taken for granted, and then income tax. And of course, it always zeroes in on the income tax for the wealthiest. And I think that we're going to have some increase, at least on the short term, in those taxes. Possibly some type of a tax across all income brackets, very as short term as possible, as painless as possible, as well thought out as possible. It's my idea, now to answer your question specifically, is a blink-on, blink-off surcharge. Now, I'm just going to throw a number out there, and then people can email me and tell me what they think. In the past, usually under Republican administration, during times of deficit, dating back to Arne Carlson and others, they had a 10% surcharge on the bottom line tax that you pay the state. A person who's paying taxes that would be middle income that might pay $3,000 in total state income tax would then pay $300 additional dollars. Someone who paid $3 million in state income tax would obviously pay 10% of that, or $300,000. And then that would be tied to the budget deficit, the rainy day fund, and then the cash flow account. And when the budget deficit is zero, which is required by the Constitution, the rainy day fund has $650 million in it. The cash flow account has $600 million in it. That tax immediately goes away. Let me tell you some good things about the $1.2 billion, the extra money. The governor has amended his proposals to have no reduction in Minnesota care eligibility for adults. That's a $32 million saving. It does not repeal child care, Minnesota care for children. That's a wonderful thing. All kinds of things related to public safety in regard of children, custody assistance, just a variety of things. A reduction but from 2% for nursing home across the board to 1% reduction. And, you know, that's going to be really important. Frankly, I'd rather have 0% reduction because I just have been in, I was in Grand Marais last weekend and visiting up at the hospital and visiting with some folks in the community that have interest in the day-to-day goings-on of the hospital. And all of our hospitals across the north and across the rural region, for that matter, are suffering deficits mainly because of the nursing home, which we absolutely need. And so because of that, I'm coming back up on March 11th to meet with folks again about the nursing home and try and look at some alternatives to help reduce the amount of loss, which would then reduce the impact on the levy that is authorized in the county for the hospital, and then that means a reduction in property taxes.
David Dill, DFL representative from District 6A, joined us this morning. Thank you very much for calling this morning, and we hope to see you then.